Here now is Lisa Bell and Candace Campos with Florida Foodie. Sponsored by Light Orlando, delivering hope together.
Hello and welcome back to Florida Foodie. I'm Lisa Bell and we are on location at a Sanford institution today.
I mean, it is like the golden child of Sanford, right? If you really think about it. I'm Candace Campos and today we have a woman who wears, let's say, many hats. She's the CEO of multiple businesses, the president of multiple charitable groups, and if that's not enough, she's also a big advocate for the city of Sanford.
So we are joined today by the woman who runs Hollerbach's German restaurant, Christina Hollerbach. Thank you so much for joining us. This is fantastic. We were just saying, you know, it seems like you guys have been here for a really long time. I moved to Central Florida in 2007, and it felt like an institution back then. But you actually got started here in 2001. Tell us how it all began.
So 2001 was an interesting time. My parents always wanted to run their own restaurant. And obviously, my dad, being from Germany, wanted it to be a German restaurant. And they were kind of always on the prowl for the best location. And my mom worked here in Sanford down the street, and she used to go to the Willow Tree Cafe, which was a small soup and salad restaurant only, no hood system, meaning it was a cold kitchen with no hot food. Okay. And they had a couple German items on the menu, like a knackwurst and I think like a liverwurst. And they, you know, would meet, and that lady wanted to retire. Her name was Ellen. And it was just the right place at the right time. So I actually bought the restaurant with 60 seats and 6 employees for $60,000.
Okay.
Wow, 2001. And, of course, since then, we now have about 160 employees and see almost 10,000 guests a week between all of our businesses. And it's pretty crazy when you think about it.
You mentioned your dad is from Germany. Tell us a little bit about the family history, because it also came from kind of a family lineage.
The food industry.
It runs through your blood. That's for sure.
Right? So my grandmother was actually one of the first female butchers that was registered in Kilburg, Germany, where my dad is from.
She's so cool.
Oh, yeah.
She's, you know, cutting open pigs and doing stuff that only the boys do.
Yeah.
But my great-grandfather, actually depicted in some photos behind us there, he was a butcher as well. So they had the butcher shop on the downstairs, and then they lived upstairs and rented other apartments there. And that home is the one that's pictured a lot in our murals and things. Mm. And Kilburg is a very small town. It has about 3,000 people in it. And they're known for hiking and fishing and things like that. And some of the closest towns that are there are like Trier and Bitburg. So it's a really, really nice region.
And that's where your dad grew up?
Yes. He immigrated to the United States when I think he was about 14 or 15 years old. Mm-hmm. His mom married an Army guy. So they moved to Colonial because they were next to the Naval Air Base, one of those.
And so mom and dad decided to buy the cafe. I mean, what are you thinking? You think this is something that's going to last as long as it has and become such a...
That you'd be running
a gem?
Yeah. We always hoped, right?
Yeah.
But it wasn't a surprise to me since it's all my parents ever talked about. And they had like a small catering business and things like that. But it was just the right time for all of us. I was 14 when we started the restaurant. And they never pressured me to become, you know, like into the industry, but they wanted me to at least experience it. Right. And I was also studying theater at the time, and I kind of liked the restaurant because it reminded me of theater in the sense that you're putting on a show, there's this sense of urgency, right? You've got this character that you're playing, you're working with a team of people to achieve something. So there is a lot of things that I liked about it already that reminded me of things I loved. But I absolutely fell in love with the industry and the people and the guests. That is the only place I want to
be. And there's a stage downstairs.
Yes, there is.
So you got to see it. I mean, when you come here, it is a dinner show. It's a whole experience that people have when they come here. And that's what makes it so much fun.
That's what I tell people. Yeah. We don't sell food. We sell an experience. We sell Gemütlichkeit. And that word, it means like to share, you know, food with friends and family. Mm-hmm. And that's that coziness feeling that you get when you're like sharing something and telling stories. That's what we're trying to achieve all the time for these guests. That's why people like to celebrate special occasions, because you get that energy. And like, yes, the food is a huge part of it because it adds to that experience, but it is just one part of it.
And sometimes when you have these dinner and a show kind of thing, one thing is not very good. Sometimes it's the food, but that is not the case here. I mean, when people walk out, they're walking out full and so satisfied and having so much fun. Let's roll the pictures of Lisa's birthday party, shall we? Oh, we don't have them?
Darn. No, but it is so much fun. And, you know, it is a party when you come here. Mm-hmm. And so you got Das Boot. Am I saying that correctly? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so many different traditions that people can experience here. So for someone who's never been here, what's it like when they come in and walk through the doors?
Well, and we try to have lots of like vignettes of experiences. Mm-hmm. So if you're here for like the main restaurant, you know, the beer hall experience in front of the band, that's definitely full hearty meals, the oompop pop polka music and the dancing and meeting other regulars that want to dance with you. That has a very, you know, specific atmosphere. And then in our lodge, it's all imported wood from Germany. They rebuilt it here on site in 10 days after building it on site in Germany and then shipping it over.
Oh, wow.
So that has a very authentic feel as well and more of the bar side. And then the spot we're in right now is the Uberkeller, which is actually a separate restaurant, and it's all German tapas style with QR payment. So you can have the full, you know, longer experience downstairs with large groups, or you could just pop upstairs in our beer garden for pretzels and beer.
Because that's what you're craving at that time, right?
Mm-hmm. And are you open 7 days a week?
Yeah, seven days a week, entertainment Thursday through Sundays, and just, you know,
in
never
the
stops.
Evenings. And it's packed all the time.
All the time.
All the time. And you've really expanded over the years. So tell us, you mentioned, you know, you started in 2001 with the small Willow Tree Cafe. Tell us about how it's grown and your footprint that's really now all over Central Florida.
We call it holler
and
blocking.
Holler blocking. I like that.
I like that. I didn't come up with it. but we started with, you know, 60 seats and six employees. And now it's unbelievable to me how many people we have working for us, and families too, and like husbands and wives and stuff. But we've got almost 700 seats total if everything is seated, because we have a private dining area, this area here, the outside beer garden, another 350 seats in the main restaurant downstairs.
And then it used to be other stores, but when they moved out, you moved in.
Yeah, and we purchased the building a few years ago, and we had a wonderful landlord, Jerry Gross, who bought a lot of property here, and he's actually from Chicago. And he was so excited to do like a, you know, lease to own kind of arrangement with us. And he was actually the architect, even though he was retired in his 80s, for our final expansion project. Where we got to finish building out, because he always wanted to see this building have an outdoor rooftop beer garden. Mm-hmm. So he was so excited to kind of see that through.
Why do you think this has become such a gem of Sanford? I mean, what is it? I mean, if you had to like nail it to something...
I would say like kind of passion and enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of my favorite compliments I get from a guest is when they talk about how much my staff likes to be here.
Yeah.
You know, because you can feel that energy. Mm-hmm. And I don't expect everybody to come to work every day with a smile on their face. We're people, we're humans, and life happens. But ultimately, you know, our goal is to make people happy, surrounded by people you like to be around. Mm-hmm. And that's not so bad. Yeah. You know, so if we can, you know, make sure that that guest experience is the thing that we focus on, but it extends to how we treat our staff as well, because if they're providing that experience, they need to feel that, and that authenticness is part of it.
Yeah, and I was sharing with you earlier, my first time here was in 2007 when I first moved to Central Florida, and I can tell you, I was just here celebrating a birthday not too long ago.
And took pictures.
What I can say, though, because this is not true for so many places, is the food still tastes just as great today as it was on my very first experience here, the Wiener Schnitzel. Am I saying that right?
Close enough.
Yes, it's all just so delicious. And so that's hard in and of itself, a challenge to maintain that consistency. And so I think you have so many people who come back and bring friends and family
because
they
know
that it's going to be a great time.
And I talk to a lot of people that want to start restaurants or businesses, and I always tell them consistency is king.
Yeah.
We all know McDonald's isn't that great of food, but we all keep going there because we know what we're going to get.
Yeah.
Right? So consistency, no matter what you're being consistent about, is very important. And for us, you know, maintaining food quality and relationships with overseas and dealing with taxes and customs and the rise in inflation of food costs has been a huge challenge of our business. But our chef, Patrick, has been with us for 19 years.
Wow.
He started right out of culinary school with us as an intern, and he did take a small hiatus. I always say grass is greener employees are my favorite. We actually kind of like, it's good to go out and get perspective and come back, and who
because
knows
you
what
know, runs you're going to be. Is he German?
He is not, but we have sent him to Germany, and he actually trained with a chef that runs the hotel in Kilburg, where my dad is from, and we've been trying to get them to come back over here and do a little swap as well.
That'd be fun.
So how much of your stuff do you import from Germany?
The beers, almost all of them. We have one beer that's made for us by Three Daughters in St. Pete, and everything else is imported from Germany. the deli has a lot of products. So between holidays and stuff, it's almost 30,000 different products that they carry at the deli.
Mackerel.
So, and right now it's Easter, so it's a lot of fun over there. But most of the food we source locally, but make in a German style. There are a lot of meats and sausages that we still order from Germany, more so for the deli. But the amount of food that we go through, we just need to maintain really good relationships with our mm-hmm. sausage makers and everybody else to maintain consistency.
And when did the deli open?
The deli opened in 2008.
Okay. And then you now have clothing stores.
Yes. So Hollerbox Outfitters opened in 2014. And kind of a weird thing, like we actually opened an art gallery for my mom and I.
What?
And then, yeah, because, you know, just adding all that on there.
Yeah. Color blocking.
Yeah. And we were across the street and we taught art classes and jewelry classes. But I was also still at the time maintaining uniforms for the staff. And so when we had like extra bits of clothing, we would just be like, oh, we'll put a little German corner in the art gallery. And it was like sold out immediately. Mm-hmm. So we're like, well, maybe there's something here. And now Hollerbox Outfitters is full Trachten, Dirndl's Lederhosen, Christmas, you know, ornaments, the whole works. And then we also opened one in the Oviedo Mall as well. So that's just, it still surprises me how yeah. well it's doing.
And
but I'm a great manager there
and
too.
I really do feel like watching the success of you and your family and, mm-hmm. and this and the restaurant business. I remember tracking you guys during hurricanes, mm-hmm. during the pandemic. I mean, it was one of those things where like, is Hollerbach going to be okay?
Yeah.
Are we,
yeah.
you know, because I mean, you guys had...
We felt that love though.
You did,
really did,
right. And you guys wrote a lot about that on Facebook. So it was almost like, it wasn't just a restaurant, it was a person
right.
in the community that you were also worried about. So, yeah.
And when you first moved in, Sanford, downtown Sanford, was not like it is today. And I feel like you guys played a big role in really kind of redeveloping and revitalizing the whole area, the food scene in Sanford.
Yeah, you're a big advocate for the city.
Yeah. It's nice when other people say it, but I agree with you. And it was, I would definitely consider us a catalyst of making people believe that Sanford had a nightlife in a future because, mm-hmm. you know, it was lunch only. And we used to open for dinner on just Fridays and Saturdays, and we would have like 10 covers, you know, and like now, like you said, there's a line out the
right.
door.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very different, especially in the evening. And then I'm not president of Main Street anymore. I think I'm just a board member now. Mm-hmm. And that has a lot to do with making sure that our business community is thriving as well. Mm-hmm. You can't just be one standalone restaurant. You have to work together. You have to have these street festivals, these organized events, you know, our Christmas in July, all of these things are just a huge part of what makes a community mm-hmm. work. And it takes a lot of effort, mm-hmm. you know, getting everybody to play nice in the sandbox, show up to meetings, getting them resources. A lot of my energy is also just spent doing that because I think it's really important to our survival.
And you would still say there's still many things for you guys to work on as as a city.
And like I can still pause and appreciate and be mm-hmm. grateful for what is happening right now mm-hmm. while also still simultaneously going, all right, well, we got to fix this and we got to mm-hmm. do whatever. Yeah. So I never want to get stagnant and just accept that this is doing well. I constantly want to challenge for sure. ourselves to be better.
What do you foresee the future to be like here?
I'm hopeful. There's definitely a lot of struggle between the public and private sector, and not just here, anywhere, of mm-hmm. just government working at the speed of business. It's always been a challenge, right? So I'm just hoping that we can make sure that policy and our infrastructure issues are catching up to the needs of our community.
There's been a lot of talk about like the need for affordable housing and the redevelopment along the water and transportation. I mean, how would solving some of those problems affect your business?
And really, I think the nice thing about Sanford is we are a historic community. So there is some Schedule S code that it protects some of the mm-hmm. growth, right? Mm-hmm. So how are we managing that? Are we taking care of the needs of the future? You know, especially parking, it's such a hot topic. Mm-hmm. But we really don't know. Like, are we all going to be using Uber? And like Sanford is already a really nice kind of transit community in the sense that we have the SunRail, we have mm-hmm. the Amtrak, we
yes.
have an airport. So like we're all very connected already, but how are people moving and interacting in the city? So I think it just takes a lot of study and attention to mm-hmm. those details to make sure that we're giving the community what it needs.
I know every time I come here, I take an Uber because I also partake in Das Boot.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us. Sorry.
Yeah,
Das Boot is, you literally pass it around and mm-hmm. I'd never seen that before
yeah.
Until I came here.
You have to stay at an Airbnb and do the whole like Sanfordite experience.
Ooh,
they even have
great.
A tiny houseboat where you can stay like on a boat in the marina.
Wow.
And we have golf cart rentals. So, you know, even if you live somewhere else, you can pretend to
be a
Sanfordite.
Like a travel agent. Too.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, we have
I
to
will
try these.
Years, which is a trip for sure.
So, what do we have on the table here? Because it smells like we can smell the sausages. And they smell amazing.
Yeah. I have no idea which ones are which.
Right, yeah.
We're really, like I said, proud of where we source our products and making them to some of our recipes. So you have a Weisswurst, Cajunwurst, Nerns, Metwurst, like a smoked sausage, Bratwurst, Knockwurst. So
it sounds
lots
like you're speaking another language.
Right, yeah. I am.
Yeah. And do you actually have an item like this on your menu where you can get a sausage sampler, if you will?
In. Yeah, I'm don't believe in. It's on the menu, but if you ask for a sausage sampler, they can, because our menu is huge. It's literally a newspaper, you know, so there's appetizers there's, you know, sausages, there's schnitzels, and people who aren't familiar with German food, I always challenge them to just come and ask your server. Let them be your guide. Tell them what you normally eat and what you like, and I will find something that works for you. And a lot of things about German food, they may have scary names, but we're like a meat and potatoes place. We're, you know, we're farmers. We want to just use what we've got and treat the product well and let it shine.
I tried this. It's very mild.
Mm-hmm. The Knockwurst is definitely the all beef kind of, you know, simple sausage, but it's really good.
It's a little one, you said?
The Nuremberg is delicious. The Weisswurst is my favorite.
That's what she actually had.
Yeah,
that.
It melts veal sausage. So but the Metwurst is excellent too. But I'm really proud of our bakery. So we've had the same pastry chef that got trained by my mom, Chef Nikki, and she runs a really great department. So our deli, besides making all of the breads and cakes for the entire restaurant, also does some extra things over in our deli.
So they make this in your bakery daily, basically. Mm-hmm. Are these traditional German pastries?
A little bit. So like it's like a plum cake is very traditional, but we try and do like a lot of German inspired things. So this croissant is actually a Bienenstich croissant or a bee sting croissant. Okay. And we have the regular Bienenstich cake that's on the menu and also still available. But this one we try and do as just like a little different take on it. And it has Bavarian cream stuffed in our freshly baked croissants covered in the honey almond mixture that we use for the cakes. And it's definitely like with coffee, one of my favorite things for breakfast. We also specialize in gluten-free as well. So this is actually a gluten-free carrot cupcake, but we sell those breads in the freezer. We sell gluten-free desserts all the time. We make them on separate days and approve for celiacs, but definitely something I'm really proud of that we can offer. Cause I'm a hostess, right? Mm-hmm. And when somebody comes and they're like, oh, well, I can't eat that. I love being like, no, I have a solution for you. You know?
Right.
So we try and our average party size at dinner is like 14 guests. So, you know, if you talk about trying to make sure that you have a little bit of something for everybody, but it's still authentic to your brand, that's what we're trying to accomplish.
What do we have here?
Mm-hmm. That one's the lemon raspberry roll. And then we also have the cake balls, which they sometimes call crack balls because you can't stop. and we do those in raspberry Ausbach, which is a brandy, and also the German chocolate. But gotta say, German chocolate, not actually German. It bugs me, and we still have it on the menu because everybody assumes we're supposed to
German
have
chocolate. Like, German?
I love a German chocolate cake. So am I just completely wrong in that?
Are coconuts and pecans indigenous to Germany?
They should be.
It's German's chocolate cake. It was in a recipe book in the 50s, and it just kind of became synonymous with German food, although it is just a person named German.
Okay. Where was that? Do you know where that person is from?
I don't know.
Yeah. I work in the store.
The sausage.
That one was very good.
Yeah, the Weisswurst is my favorite. The Cajunwurst is a little spicy, but I love that one.
Okay. She's going for the sweet. Yeah. I'm a savory person.
It's my favorite.
Now, if you were to advise someone.
Oh, that's so airy and fluffy.
Who never has it. It looks like it's going to be heavy, but it's not.
Who's never experienced German food at your restaurant, what would you advise them to order?
I would definitely say ask your server. Like I said, I'm really proud of my staff, and especially Doris, if you want a German server that's just going to pick everything for you and tell you it's
Doris
great.
Been working?
She's pushing 18 years.
Wow.
She just came here for a little while just to be a server while she was getting her real estate license, and then huzzah. Yeah.
The real estate industry in Florida just never took off, so she stayed here.
That says a lot about you guys, too.
It's true. And I have so many staff members that are over 15 years. It's really awesome. But But I would definitely say a Wiener Schnitzel, the classic pork schnitzel, is my favorite.
It's a safe bet.
And I always get it with the mushroom sauce. Is that doing it right or wrong?
Champignon gravy is delicious.
The potatoes.
The potato pancakes, spetzel, the homemade egg noodle. They're just really good ways to go. So.
And your, I call it like the bread cabbage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's amazing. Corn. Yeah.
Yep.
What is that? What am I eating? Because I love it.
So tell me.
It's red cabbage, but it's, fermented first with vinegars and things and then braised. And we braise ours with Granny Smith apples. Mm. And so there's no additional sugar added to that. That actually just the natural cabbage, vinegar, and natural sugars in apples. And a key to both sauerkraut and red cabbage, always braise with the top off. Some people are just keen to put the top on it. But if the vinegar can't evaporate during that braising, that's what can sometimes make it a little too bitter.
Yeah.
We still make all of those in-house every day. The kitchen that's in the back of our deli and market is actually the prep kitchen that helps the entire restaurant function.
It's a well-oiled machine. Yeah. And you guys also have fantastic performers.
Yes,
sing.
Who've been here. Because I've recognized the same people over the years. So, they've been here for a minute.
Who are they?
So Eckhart is our folk instrumentist. And then our accordionist right now is Nick. And they're a trip, and I absolutely love them. But it's such a great story with Eckhart. He actually knew my parents from back in the day from going to the German restaurants and things like that. And he was our dishwasher repairman. And he was like, oh, cool, the German restaurant again. And he just started coming to hang out. And we would only do entertainment once a month because we're like, who would want to see this more than once a month?
Uh-huh.
And
surprise.
He would just be like, can I just sing one song? And we're like, oh, sure. And so then it turned into like just a little set. And we're like, we'll pay you for your food and drink because you're just going to sing a few songs. And so like in his 60s, left his full-time job and became a full-time professional musician in his German folk instruments. And I think he was 68 or something like that.
Awesome.
So it's really cool that he gets
puts
to do
on
this
a party
he
when
does.
He's here.
Yeah. He's a lot of fun.
This has been so fabulous. Yes. Where can people get more information online?
We're easy to find, hollerbox.com. And that's going to get you access to our restaurant, the deli, the outfitters, other brands that we run, like the joint. We've got a really active newsletter with lots of events all the time, dinner specials. We just ran corned beef for St. Pat's, so it's a really easy way to follow us.
Or just go into a random crowd and say, does anyone know about Hollerbox? And you'll be guaranteed to know somebody.
Fantastic.
This has been so much fun. Yeah, I'm going to continue sampling some of this. I got to hit that plate next.
Yeah,
so
we'll wrap it up.
Thank you so much, Christina.
Thank you for listening to Florida Foodie. We'd also like to thank our guest, Christina Hollerbox. You can find her restaurant online at hollerbox.com. You can also find it on Facebook and Instagram. Be sure to follow Lisa Bell online. Search Lisa Bell News on Facebook and Instagram. You can also find Candace Campos on social media. On Facebook, search Candace Campos News 6. And on Instagram, search Candace Campos WKMG. Also, a big thank you to our entire production team. I'm the show's producer, Thomas Mates. Please take the time to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify or wherever you stream podcasts. And you can find videos of all of our podcasts on clickorlando.com and on YouTube. Just search for Florida Foodie.